live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akila Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a young family are said to have had a lucky escape after their home was gutted in an overnight house fire in Kildaff. The Locks Agency has confirmed a significant quantity of oysters have been seized off Loch Foyle. Concern has been raised over a serious case of illegal dumping in West Donegal, and it appears the worst of Storm Callum has passed, with relatively little damage caused across Donegal. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15, followed by Nuacht with Colm Ferrier. But first the news. A young family are said to have had a lucky escape after their home was gutted in an overnight house fire in Kildaff. The alarm was raised at around 2:30 this morning, and while the emergency services reportedly attended the scene within minutes, the fire had already destroyed the house. A mother and her three young children managed to escape uninjured. An investigation is ongoing to establish the cause of the blaze. Local councillor Bernard McGuinness has been praising the prompt response of the fire service and says it's a miracle that lives weren't lost.
The house fire, it was in the Ballyhary area of Kildaff, the mother and her three children, and they discovered, some of the children discovered the fire or got up, and their mother went to see or look after and discovered the house on fire, and they just got out with minutes to spare. The community is a bit shocked, very shocked, and obviously the family is very shocked and get sympathy towards them. But we're relieved also that there's nobody lost their lives.
Now, obviously, an investigation is at a very early stage as to what caused this fire. But nonetheless, this family, while they've come away with their lives, all their belongings are lost.
That's right. I think the fire brigades were there very promptly, but it was too late to save anything. The house has completely got it. And speaking to Duane, she's still obviously in shock, and talking to her kids as well. But it's so sad for them, but again, we're relieved that there's nobody injured. You know, hopefully the community will rally around them now, and we'll see what we can do for them best we can. She's at present and with her mother now. She moved in with her mother this morning.
The worst of Storm Callum appears to have passed, with Donegal remaining relatively unscathed. However, people across the country are still waiting for their power to be restored after strong winds overnight led to 60,000 homes, farms and businesses losing supply. At present, almost 100 homes and businesses in Donegal are still without power, with the ESB crews working to have the power restored as soon as possible. The status orange weather warning for the county has now been lifted. Parents of second-level students who have been denied school transport in South Inishowen are hoping the issue will be addressed next week. It's after a commitment was given to a parents' delegation from Termon and Kilmacrenan in the Dáil yesterday by Minister John Halligan that the issue would be resolved for the Milford catchment area. Senator Padraig McLaughlin has welcomed the breakthrough, but says it is imperative now that parents and students in Inishowen be given the same treatment.
We've had a number of public meetings in Milford, a number of public meetings in Inishowen, and we were waiting on the Milford decision first, and we expect exactly the same treatment, and we expect South Inishowen parents to get the same outcome next week.
Has there been any indication from the Minister, either explicitly or implicitly, that that will be the case?
What Minister John Halligan has done is acknowledged that he's received all of the details of the affected pupils and families in the Inishowen area. I have worked with other public representatives on a cross-party basis in South Inishowen to make sure that information got to the Minister and to his officials. We were aware that Milford would be decided upon first, and we got the outcome that we hoped for there, and we expect exactly the same outcome for Inishowen.
And it's your contention that the two situations are identical? There is no difference between what pertained in Milford and what's pertaining in South Inishowen?
Oh, indeed. I mean, there are 30 pupils without a seat on the school buses to Buncrana in the South Inishowen area. That's Muff, Burnt Foots, Bridge End, Tubin areas. Out of those 30, 28 are eligible for school transport. So it is very much the same situation as it happened in Milford, and we expect the families and pupils in South Inishowen to get the same outcome, and we will work vigorously to get that sorted out next week.
The Fianna Fáil leader has written to the Taoiseach saying they should both agree not to bring down the government until a Brexit deal is in place. Micheál Martin says a general election during these final negotiations would create a dangerous instability. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
With the third budget of the confidence and supply arrangement out of the way, the Taoiseach and the Fianna Fáil leader have been arranging a review and possible renegotiation of the deal. They were in contact this morning and agreed to meet next week. The Fianna Fáil leader wrote to his counterpart this evening saying they should both state up front, regardless of what happens in the review, that they won't bring down the government until Brexit is sorted. Micheál Martin said they should agree to pass the finance bill and other legislation until any deal proposed by the EU Council has passed in both Westminster and the European Parliament. He said an uncertain post-election situation could create dangerous instability at an important time for Ireland. Politically, it puts the pressure back onto the Taoiseach. If he wants an election, he'll have a hard time selling that it was Fianna Fáil's fault the government collapsed. It also happens to come on a day when a new Red Sea poll shows Fianna Fáil up 5%, significantly closing the gap on Fine Gael.
Concern has been raised over a serious case of illegal dumping in West Donegal. Up to 1,000 used beer cans and other items were discovered strewn in a rural area of Gidore in recent days. Donegal County Council has been informed of the matter. Local councillor Micheál Colmagillo Aspic says there is an onus on people to take responsibility for their dumping.
This is an ongoing problem, not alone in the west of the county, but right through the whole county, from domestic scale to industrial scale, where people, some people believe it's justifiable, or they just don't care. They can throw their rubbish anywhere where they want. This is an absolute insult to the very community where people live, to their neighbours, friends and family, and also putting a massive cost on taxpayers that now will have to be cleaned at a cost to taxpayers, when that money could have been used for something more progressive in relation to environmental awareness, or maybe some engagement with our youth around environmental issues. But what I would ask people now who are engaging in this, and it's only a handful of people, but they're still engaging in it, to reflect on actually what they're doing and who does this affect.
And indeed, there has been much awareness of illegal dumping raised in recent times, but it appears the message still hasn't got through.
Well, it's one of them things that you just keep, you just need to keep hammering on. It's really important that from a very young age, engagement within the community or schools right across to all ages, that we need to put a clear message that illegal dumping is wrong and it has an impact on the very community that people live in.
The Lochs Agency says a significant quantity of oysters have been seized off Loch Foyle. The seizure is part of investigations into illegal pre-season fishing activities for native oysters in the loch. Responding to reports of some boats getting into difficulty when the fishery opened on Tuesday, the agency says that the decision is the responsibility of the master of the vessel. Donal Kavanagh has more.
The Lochs Agency says its investigations into illegal pre-season fishing activities for native oysters in the Foyle have resulted in the seizure of a number of bags of fished oysters on Monday last, the day before the Loch Foyle native oyster fishery was scheduled to open. The bags were buoyed offshore prior to the official opening of the fishery at 6 a.m. on Tuesday morning. Lochs Agency fishery officers mounted an operation to recover the bags early on Monday before weather conditions deteriorated. Live oysters recovered from the bags were returned to the loch and investigations are continuing. Meanwhile, the agency says it's aware of a number of licensed oyster operators getting into difficulty during the opening day of the season and confirmed the decision as to whether or not to go to sea remains the responsibility of the master of the vessel. They say small craft warnings were in operation from Met Éireann at the time. In response to the weather conditions and in line with the Lochs Agency's own risk assessments, the decision was taken for no agency patrol vessels to go to sea that day.
After much uncertainty over the sale of the proposed site for the three-school campus in Buncrana, it has been confirmed today that the site has indeed been sold. The Education Minister previously declared that he was not aware the site had been sold to a third party and was of the opinion that negotiations were progressing. However, Councillor Rena Donaghy has since sought clarity that the site has been sold. She says she remains hopeful that a way forward can still be found.
I spoke directly myself to the vendor, to the landholder, to seek clarification for the UTB, for Donegal County Council, and for teachers, for parents, for everybody, so that people would know and that we could move on. The landholder told me, yes, the site has been sold. So at least we know now that the site has been sold. That's clarified. And I just wanted to let everybody know that that is the case. It has been clarified.
Does it not pose serious questions, though, in terms of the fact that the Education Minister didn't know that the site was sold and that negotiations seemed to be positive prior to this happening?
Negotiations were positive up until the end, and the last bid had been put in September, but no reply came back regarding the bid, whether it was accepted or not. And the Minister's office definitely were not aware that the site was sold.
In terms of moving forward now, Councillor, what is your predictions here? Is there a chance that the new owners might make available some of the land to the Three School campus?
Well, I would hope that would be the case, because we'd love to get back on track again. The vendor did tell me yesterday that the people who bought the site from him are very keen to sell it to the ETB. They would definitely be interested in selling part of it. They're going to keep, I think, 7 acres themselves, and they would be willing to sell 15 acres to the ETB if everything is suitable.
€20,000 has been allocated to Donegal Parish Church in Donegal Town to carry out urgent repair works. A Save Our Spire campaign was launched earlier this year after concerns were raised that conditions would rapidly deteriorate unless funding was secured. The funding provided by the Department of Arts, Heritage and the Gaeltacht will go towards the second phase of works to restore the church, which was badly damaged in a storm. Archdeacon David Hoss has welcomed the funding, which he says will enable works to continue on restoring this iconic landmark.
So a major project to repair and restore the spire, which anyone in Donegal Town who's passed through the town will know it's really a focal point in the centre of the town, and it's been suffering from old age, and it wasn't helped by being struck by lightning a couple of years ago. So a major project to repair and restore it is underway, and that's what this funding is going towards.
And the cost of the project back in April was estimated to be in the region of €150,000. How much of that has been made up through the campaign launched by yourselves?
Yes, so we have raised about 80,000, so we're over halfway towards the target, which is great, and that's come from a variety of things. Donations, the local community have been fantastic. We've run numerous fundraising events, and we've had some help from the County Council, and now for the first time we've got some really good help from the central government, so that's fantastic.
And when do you hope these works will begin?
Well, the first phase of the work is underway presently. That's been going on through the summer, and the second phase is just about to be launched now. The next parts of the work with this funding going towards that second phase.
Highland Sport, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. With a mega giveaway voucher, there's great discounts and a chance to win a €500 voucher. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's now 5:15 and time for the latest sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with soccer, and the latest stage of the First Division playoffs gets underway tonight. Drogheda United welcome Finn Harps to United Park for the first leg with a 7:45 kickoff. Harps haven't played a game in 3 weeks, while Drogheda have come through a round of playoffs beating Shelburne. Former Harps captain Declan Boyle says Harps are very capable of a positive result away from home tonight.
I'd be very positive, considering how well we've been playing up until the break. Also considering that the squad of players they have and the quality they have, I think overall the quality of the squad would be probably better than the team that probably played in the Premier League 2 years ago. So I'd be very positive, good results. Obviously, Drogheda would be match prepared compared to Harps having played in probably the third week or so. So that's obviously a negative. But also the positive of that is it gives an opportunity to get injured players back on the pitch again. So I think he's got a fully squad this evening. So that's obviously a big positive, and he'll be picking the best team to go out and do the job.
Would a 1-0 defeat be such a bad result for Harps?
No, I don't think so. Actually, if you remember down in Limerick, we lost 1-0 as well. Yeah. And there, you know, when we came back and we overturned it over the two legs, and that was playing against a Premier Division team. So, again, you never know. I mean,
what we do have is we do have quality going forward. Our squad is, as I said, it's bigger. It's a bit more quality in it than that. And I would think it's probably as good a team as we had in a long, long time. So I expect all those pluses to come to the core, to the fore tonight, and for them to play well. Obviously, you're expecting maybe a wee bit of rustiness at the start, but these lads are professional lads. They've been training hard. This is what it's all about. It's about playing at the elite level and playing in big games. And this is a big game for every player and the club going forward. And we'll be looking for a really good professional performance. Maybe get a sneak a 1-0 or 2-1 happy days and bring them back to Finn Park.
Kick-off time to that game tonight is 7:45, and we will have full live match commentary here in Highland. Jeremy Doherty and former Harps goalkeeper and current Coghill Celtic player-manager Gavin Cullen will be on the commentary team. Elsewhere tonight, champions Dundalk are on the road. Stephen Kenny's side at the RSC to face Waterford in one of three Premier Division games. Cork City will look to keep up their good form ahead of the FAI Cup final with Limerick visiting Turner's Cross, where there's a Dublin derby at Richmond Park with St. Pat's entertaining Shamrock Rovers. No Irish Premiership games tonight, but Institute are at home tomorrow as they play Ballymena United. And also this weekend, there is five games, of course, taking place in the Premiership. Now, FAI Youth Cup action tonight sees Letterkenny Rovers travelling to Sligo. They're playing Strandhill Celtic, and that game is at Strandhill, and it kicks off at 7 o'clock this evening. Martin O'Neill has hinted that the Republic of Ireland could start with a 3-5-2 formation for tomorrow night's Nations League meeting with Denmark at the Aviva. With captain Seamus Coleman missing through injury, Wolves in-form fullback Matt Doherty could be handed his first senior start. It's been confirmed that Jeff Henrick will start in the middle of the park for Ireland tomorrow night. In Gaelic games, Fermanagh and Donegal will meet in the quarterfinals of the 2019 Ulster Senior Football Championship. The sides that met in last year's final were paired together in Thursday night's draw, with Donegal starting the defence of their provincial title at Brewster Park. The winner will go to the semi-finals with a possible tie against beaten All-Ireland finalist Tyrone should the O'Neill County come through games against Derry and Antrim. Donegal manager Declan Boner is currently working on his plans and preparations for next season, which starts with the McKenna Cup in January. Earlier today, Declan told me that Brewster Park will not be an easy place to go to.
The one thing probably in challenge of football, obviously you like to get a home draw, naturally enough. Every team wants to get a home draw. And, it pairs up against Fermanagh, who had a very good run in the challenge this year, and we overcame them in the Ulster final. And we know in the past, going into Brewster Park in challenge football is never an easy place to go. So, listen, we know that people are saying Tyrone are in that half of the draw, and quite rightly, they are in that half of the draw, but we have a match to get ready for against Fermanagh. It seems a long way away at this stage, and there'll be a lot of football to be played and a lot of training sessions and a lot of things to get done before then. But, that date in May, whenever it's on, will be our main focus and the Fermanagh challenge that brings.
Is the defence of the Ulster title your number one priority at this stage, Declan?
Listen, yeah, the Ulster title is always a priority, and no matter what. And it'll be brilliant to go back-to-back. It's going to be very, very difficult. Ulster is still the most competitive of all the provincial championships. There's none quite like Ulster, and that's going to be difficult. But that's going to be one of our targets, naturally, is to retain that Ulster title.
And you can hear more from Donegal manager Declan Boner by going to the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. There's a number of big matches Gaelic games-wise this coming weekend. The Glenfinn Ladies are playing Breda of Down tomorrow in the Ulster Senior Ladies Football Championship semi-final. The Donegal Junior Football Finals have been played tomorrow afternoon at Letterkenny. Red Hughes involved in both as they take on Pettigo in the Junior B and Urres in the Junior A. Our feature game on Sunday will be the Donegal Intermediate Football Championship Decider at McCool Park in Ballybuffet as Glenfinn take on Éireux. The winner, of course, will go to senior football next year. While in the hurling front, Burt, the Donegal champions, start their Ulster campaign against Castleblaney at Letterkenny on Sunday afternoon. In boxing, Leah Gillen of the Rafaux Club is currently making her international debut at the European Junior Championships in Russia. The 16-year-old, who's the only Ulster representative on the team, is currently fighting a German opponent, Finji Bree, in the quarterfinals of the 66kg weight division. And we're all hoping that she can win her opening match and progress through to the last four in Napa. Having broken her own Irish record last night, Mona McSharry will be targeting a medal in the 50-metre freestyle swimming final at the Youth Olympics later on. The Sligo woman, who swims out of the Ballyshannon Merlins Club, was second fastest in the semi-finals, clocking 25.42 seconds last night. The World Olympics are taking place in Buenos Aires. She did, of course, narrowly miss out on a medal in the 150-metre breaststrokes earlier in the week. In rugby, Ulster can recall a trio of internationals for tomorrow's Champions Cup visit of Leicester to Belfast. Greg Gilroy and Jordy Murphy come back into the starting 15, while Marty Moore fit enough for a place on the bench. Fullback Michael Lowry also returns from injury to make his European debut. There's also a first European start on the blind side for Marcel Coutts. And Leinster begin the defence of their Champions Cup title this evening. They are playing Wasps at the RDS. Starts at 7:45. Our feature game in local rugby tomorrow sees City of Derry against Sea Point in All-Ireland League Division 2C. Having played two matches, Derry have won one and lost one. Omagh likewise have won one and lost one. They're on the road tomorrow as they go to Thomond in the same division. And among the other Northwest sides in action in Championship 3, Strabane play PSNI and Letterkenny are up against Cavan. Finally, in motorsport, it's the final round of the National Rally Championship this weekend, and it's taking place in Donegal with the Harvest Rally, based over 9 stages in the Finn Valley area, tomorrow Saturday. There's an impressive entry list as they head for the opening stage tomorrow morning, but Declan Boyle and James O'Reilly know that a top 8 finish will secure the National Rally Championship. The likes of Donna Kelly, Josh and Sam Moffat, Joe McGonigal are also involved there, and there's going to be a huge battle in the Mark II category, which on the seeded list has been led by Scotland's David Bogie. We'll have the first of the updates tomorrow afternoon from the rally after the 12 o'clock news. Another busy afternoon on the motorsport front to come tomorrow. It's going to be another busy weekend as well, and you can of course join us for our sports programmes here on Highland Saturday and Sunday from just after the 2 news. Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin. For weather now, winds will continue to ease through the evening and become light to moderate by midnight, mostly dry overnight with clear spells and just a few outbreaks of showery rain. It was temperatures of 7 to 10 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, a young family are said to have had a lucky escape after their home was gutted in an overnight house fire in Culdaff. The alarm was raised at around 2:30 this morning, and while the emergency services reportedly attended the scene within minutes, the fire had already destroyed the house. The worst of Storm Callum appears to have passed, with Donegal remaining relatively unscathed. However, people across the country are still waiting for their power to be restored after strong winds overnight led to 60,000 homes, farms and businesses losing supply. Parents of second level students who have been denied school transport in South Inishowen are hoping the issue will be addressed next week. It's after a commitment was given to a parents' delegation from Termon and Kilmacrenan in the Dáil yesterday by Minister John Halligan that the issue would be resolved for the Milford catchment area. A concern has been raised over a serious case of illegal dumping in West Donegal. Up to 1,000 used beer cans and other items were discovered strewn in a rural area of Gidor in recent days. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Nuacht with Colm Ferter, and we'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Shumar Mahasa Colm Ferter and Shaw Linda Preeves guilty. Major Lefigury and Kai Nashnish shall false you and chacked and shaw to Medu Erluntis, Dun Gilliga, Geltak, Augustana Helen, Dun Vlian, Shahogin, August Nis Mo, Nashaskas, a shart, Gulyai, million euro, Nura Carter, Liach, Galu, and Oros Changus, and Arav, Shishin Medu, the Kuig million euro, the Art Fwinged, Liach, Galti, Yavilis, a hard jeg. Kurher Sheikh, Kid Mila, Euros of Resh, Con, Takulish, and Froses, Plan. Anna Lachanga, Yoi Udras Nigelta, a hain punch a kuig million savresh, con anesti acta yen of igantar geltacta, August hoher lia million savresh, con taku la cor common, August agriacta, farberhe pobbled sa geltact. Kuig kits a art 1 million euro, dos gamin a con scholar acta a geltacta a carter or foil, August a hain punch a kuig million con farbercha yen of her infrastructure, don. Service Farran Torrett a type Frastel, Ellen Aaron, August Hori, Comai. Idir a yalin ta rachis dianta ag Conor na Gaeilge a ra go gartar fuailte rivan arigad vresha ach ni loor an veig a ta galta agus ni hogan se clafram na feinia da phobl na Gaeilge agus na gaeltachta cenas nachhuol muinu ar fuail da gach ni a ta luce sa flan an estiachta. Hul Conor na Gaeilge taidja nua na hala na cafra a mil firstja an chacht an chao chumai taidja a yenan an yuchu ar usaj na Gaeilge sna chorli o hui ta taidja bonihe ar chrachla nua monotarokta dulgas I leit na changa major lishan taidja ta sampli den dia chlactas a leagtar siis sa chrachla ag ta arij Tyrantia Gomenic and Yawarj Kosti Monitorokta the Hodge Nanashun Anti August Corlia Nahurapa Awelche Marhulgus Arshu Korivaim Chomantish and Stach Avas Tell you Erin Sieve Conor na Gaeilge Bunkai E Erin Scale Shin Agus Arna Agru Egail Lin to Sienza Erkund in the Pre of Comortish Kyol Araniakta tradition to Nachira Agus Kahian Sienza Gail Lin Dluk Hangelt Ejer and Yeliga and Kyol Agus Anoiga. I say Jahinia and Cheol as Fida Yeru Foher and Sprick Data Entrilla Don Comortis and Liana Agus to tell you Eg Gail Lin Bunk IE. Agus by Leandra Lechikeran Imon Kora San LYIT Egahin Yega Clug, Majina. Mara come play a yenu or Kirsty Gaelic a secanta, Gusta Falcho River, Rini, Abuai Lofa, Enchor a yenu, Concogi, Lishing Gaelic, a carcon, Kennan, Lecher Kennan, August Schofer, Plan, Changa, Clahanili, Jehinia Shahogin, and Austin, Lochalton, Garta Harke. August Shinbachodje, Eligolier, Slanagus Bannocked.
The beach notices for this Friday evening, the 12th of October. The death has taken place of Martin McGowan, 156 Castlegrange Park, Strabane. His remains will repose at his home from 7:30 this evening. Funeral from there on Sunday morning at 10 to 12 for Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 12:30. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabane. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The sudden death has occurred of Seamus McDermott, Corlecky, Ballybuffet. His remains will repose at his home from 12 noon tomorrow. Funeral from there on Monday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 12 noon in the Church of Our Lady of Perpetual Succour, Glenfinn, with interment afterwards in Kiltivogue Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of Andrew Fullerton, Corvin Linford, Buncrana. Andrew's remains will repose at the family home from 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Funeral from there at 12:10 on Sunday afternoon for Mass at 1 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, Buncrana. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of John Gallagher, Marcus Owen, Derry Hassan Moore, Downings. His remains are reposing at the Church of St John the Baptist, Carrigart, with funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in Meva Graveyard. The death has taken place of Dipna Harper, Ballantyre Square, Ballantyre Avenue, Dublin 16, formerly of Ruski Convoy. Her remains will repose at her sister Philomena Patton's residence at 25 Hillhead Castle Finn until 11 o'clock tonight. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30, going to St Mary's Church, Castle Finn, for 11 o'clock funeral mass. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please, donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has occurred in Henley upon Thames, England, of Paddy McGinty, Paddy Sally, formerly of Drim, Comeen, Glen Finn. Burial will take place in Henley upon Thames on a date to be confirmed. The death has occurred of John Horace McKinley, 74, Drumcern Road, Limavady, formerly of Ruski, Newton Cunningham. Funeral service at his sister Muriel Stevenson's home at 116 Bolay Road, Limavady, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, followed by burial in Newton Cunningham Presbyterian Church Cemetery, arriving at approximately 1 o'clock. Family flowers only, please, donations in lieu of desired to Northern Ireland Chest, Heart and Stroke, care of Robinson Funeral Directors. And the death has taken place of Joe Barron, Green Hill, Dunfanaghy. Funeral Mass in Holy Cross Church, Dunfanaghy, tomorrow at 12 noon. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The wake is family only, please.